Hello, and welcome to the first episode of our Serial Killers podcast. Today, we will be discussing an infamous English serial killer, one whose name is widely thrown around in music, theatrical media, and literature. I'm Bella.
I'm Myra.
And I'm Corey. And today we're talking about Jack the Ripper.
The term Jack the Ripper refers to an unidentified individual or group who committed a series of murders in Whitechapel, London in 1888. These were committed against five women who were all prostitutes. This was also done in a barbaric manner that is suggestive of sociopathic tendencies. It is uncertain as to if the murders were committed by a single individual or group, but certain organs were extracted in a seemingly smooth manner, and on one occasion, a part of a human kidney was mailed to the police alongside a letter. This letter with the kidney is the origin of the name Jack the Ripper. Now my question to you guys is, how do you think that the kidney was extracted with such ease? Like, do you think he had help from a doctor? Do you think he had people helping him with this? Like, how do we think that this happened?
Well, numerous investigators, both professional and recreational, have concluded from their consideration of the facts of the case that not only you had mentioned that it's often, I mean, because keep in mind that the perpetrators were never identified, this case was never resolved, and so people have concluded, based off of what they do know from the case, that not only was it an individual, which we will discuss later on today or later on in this episode, but they've also concluded that this person bore substantial anatomical knowledge, considerable knowledge of the human body, which enabled them to sort of pinpoint where exactly the techniques that they used to do this in such an efficacious, such a smooth manner. That has been the widespread conclusion that has been drawn by so many people. It's really become I dare to call it orthodoxy surrounding the case that this person or some accomplice had some degree of medical knowledge. But yeah, that's definitely a integral element of the case, in that it's definitely something that we should consider when I'm considering just the very just the general, in a sense, this very enigmatic case from a broader perspective. Hope that answers your question. If Myra has any insight to offer.
Well, you know, however he was able to mail that letter, in the letter, Jack seemingly taunted the London police force, signing it with his name and possibly hinting at murders to come. But Jack only struck early in the morning and on weekends. So do you guys think that this could mean that he completed jobs by himself and wasn't part of a group?
I mean, personally, I believe that this would be an individual job. I mean, seeing as, like, you'd have to coordinate this with a bunch of other people, which couldn't have been easy at the time. And you'd also have to have a group of people that thinks the same way that you think in order for them to want to do this with you. So I think that this is an individual effort.
Yeah, to add, pardon me, to sort of compliment what Bella's response to Myra's question, which looks like Myra wanted to hop right into that discussion, the discussion of whether these murders were perpetrated by a single individual or a group. I wanted to add that the very unspeakably ravenous nature of the murders, I mean, the brutality of these murders were immensely extensive. It wasn't uncommon in late 19th century in London or anywhere in the world for prostitutes to be harmed or even killed. And since they were so common, they would often go unreported. But the reason that these murders received so much attention, not only by the people of London, because, I mean, Whitechapel was a very small, impoverished region of London that I haven't even heard of prior to my exploration of this case. And I'm pretty sure, I guess, most people who don't even live in, or maybe a lot of people who even live in London or have not heard of, which is somewhat unlikely. But anyways, that's not really relevant to my point. My point is that the reason that it received so much attention was because these murders were perpetrated in an immensely barbaric, unspeakably brutal, savage manner. And, I mean, these people were mutilated, like, to the point where I guess we were unable to recognize them. I guess their they were beaten to the point where their heads became substantial mixtures of flesh and blood. And the very nature of these murders just suggests these profoundly sociopathic tendencies, as her, to take a term that Bella used earlier to describe. And the conclusion that the person was insane may definitely be drawn. And the reason I bring that up in order to address this question is that insanity is a minority condition, in that it's very hard to find a group of people who are insane and to find a group of people who can coordinate murders like this. I mean, murders in this, like, themselves are very difficult to coordinate. And so to find a group of insane people in London or within its vicinity alone to perpetrate these murders, to find people who belong to the psychological minority, if you guys understand what I'm saying, to perpetrate these murders, that would be very, very difficult, and it's very unlikely, very unreasonable to think that this occurred. And in addition to that, I'm going to introduce some more facts concerning the case. These murders were committed against the five murders that Bella mentioned earlier. Those are known as five canonical murders. There are some more murders who are attributed to the same Jack the Ripper character that occurred within the next 3 years, but only five were considered canonical. And four of those five murders occurred when the victims were trying to solicit their sexual services to people on the street. And so, meaning that these murders weren't really planned, they sort of just occurred out of nowhere. They had to wait for these prostitutes to commit an act, to commit a or to do what I said, I guess, solicit their services to customers on the street. So I guess to wait for a situation like that to coordinate in that manner, I think that's very hard to do in a group. You guys understand what I'm saying? Am I making my point clear enough? Is my argument coherent?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
I agree too, Corey, and the motives were very hard to fathom, and actually at the time, the investigators were never able to solve the case. And the killer has also been dubbed the Leather Apron, or the Whitechapel Murderer, by investigators at the time, who were ultimately humiliated by their failure to solve the case, facing outrage from the inhabitants of London.
This case is one of the most notable of all serial murder cases, being the subject of hundreds of literary and dramatic works, both fiction and nonfiction. Numerous theories have been formulated in regards to the perpetrator, and such a circumstance has become the subject of widespread speculation internationally. The sites of the murders, which were all within a mile of one another in Whitechapel, have become tourist destinations. So the question that I'd like to pose to you all now is, what do you all think of this case? Do you have any speculations regarding the supposed facts of the case?
Well, like we mentioned earlier, I definitely believe that this was an individual effort. And also, part of the reason why I believe this is I actually was doing some research before we came onto the podcast. And just recently, they had released that they believe that they do have the killer. They saw forensic stains on a shawl found by the body of a victim. And they believe that the killer is a 23-year-old barber from Poland. And his name is Aaron Kosminski.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, Myra, did you want
to? Oh, no, go right ahead.
No, pardon me, I just wanted to interject. Not really interject, I guess you were finished. I also did read a little bit about Aaron Kosminski. This was actually a very recent conclusion. It was made the late summer of 2014, September 2014 to be precise. They were published in a book by this gentleman known as Russell Edwards, after he conducted a DNA investigation, which DNA evidence is pretty infallible, if you ask me, or infallible, I'm sorry, pardon me. If you ask me, it's according to my understanding of just DNA testing, DNA testing in general, and investigations offering forensic insight that makes use of DNA. I do think that is pretty solid evidence, and that you really can't go wrong with a DNA test. And hold on, I wanted to add a thought to that, but escaped me. It slipped off of my tongue. Myra, I think you wanted to share something earlier, and I think we talked over each other. So do you want to go ahead and say what you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say that this all really does make sense. You know, all the murders were so close together that it would have been very easy for just one person to do that. You know, all the sites were within a mile of each other. And, you know, the times that the individual did it were so obscure. It really does all fit into place.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, we can walk a mile easily. Like, we walk a mile, like, probably walking through school hallways and stuff. Like, it shouldn't be too hard to get around. So, I mean, I do think that it does make sense that it could be a single individual. I mean, seeing as it's easy to get around now. Like, I mean, it's so easy to walk such a short distance, like a mile, and like you don't need all those people to plan. I think if there were more people involved, you would have a wider range of where the murders happened.
Well, I don't fully agree with that, but only that last statement, but that's really not relevant. I don't think there's a need for us to go into all that. What I wanted to say is that the five canonical murders that I mentioned earlier, they occurred over the course of, I believe it was from August to November, if I remember correctly, over the course of 3 months. So there really isn't a need for, the fact that the murders occurred within a small vicinity, I believe, is largely irrelevant considering that they occurred over a long period of time. But I want to go back to this this Aaron Kosminski character that we mentioned earlier. And so Russell Edwards, he writes that this character, he was a Polish Jew, he was an immigrant from Poland. He lived in Whitechapel, and he spent his remaining years in the years preceding his death, he lived in Whitechapel, and that was during the time of the murders. Then he was placed in an insane asylum where he died. And one of the suspects named by the London police force at the time of this investigation, I forget the name of the guy who was leading it. I think it was Adam Brown. That's where the name Adam appears. But yeah, they used the name Kosminski to describe this suspect. And he was sociopathic, so that provide some answer to this question that we have in regards to the psychological condition of who did this or who or what did this. And his physical appearance also aligned with that of police accounts. So I do think that this is a pretty solid conclusion. We have no way of knowing because these murders occurred so long ago. And this case remains immensely intriguing, very enigmatic, very dreary and ominous. And it's definitely something that is worth exploring further. I really hope that you guys enjoyed our discussion of this matter, and I really hope that you share our interest in this immensely eerie case. Does Bella and Myra want to add anything to before we close?
I'm good, but I think that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to our Serial Killer podcast. We hope you enjoyed our first episode, and we'll see you next time.